Good evening and welcome to the Wellbeing Lounge. It's Dr. Audrey Tang here with your hour of mental health and wellbeing. I have two amazing guests today. First of all, I've got Susan Papula of A Mosaic World, and she's been on the show before, and we have talked about ways in which we can encourage better equality and understanding of diversity. Following her, I have Trey Ventor Griffiths, whose PhD research, creative writing research on the Windrush era, especially when it comes to the smaller communities like Northampton, has been giving people their heritage back. So I'm really excited for this show. Let's go straight over to Susan. Welcome to the lounge.
Thank you for having me in the lounge again, Audrey. It's always a good sign if someone says, please come back again.
You were so lovely to chat with, so informative and so compassionate in your approach that it's a real pleasure to speak with you again. So thank you for being here. And I wanted to pretty much open up with quite a big, well, it's a huge topic, but let's break it down to smaller aspects. And let's begin with racism, but how we can begin to understand racism, because to me, this is some way of bringing better equality in, when you have little or no reference for it, whether you're from within a community who also experiences racism, or if you're outside the community and perhaps haven't had that experience.
And it's funny, I smile when you say you don't have a reference for it, because to some extent, we all do.
True.
Because To some degree, we all have beliefs, understandings of people. People talk about unconscious bias. I'm not talking about unconscious bias. I'm talking about beliefs. And I'm talking about deeply embedded beliefs, which are typically to some degree translated through generation to generation. And they are embedded because of that, and we don't necessarily even know where they come from at times, but they're further embedded by the structures of the environments that we live in and the systems and the way that they work, which is informed by those beliefs and points of views. So we might not be fully conscious of where those beliefs come from, but we have them. I mean, We talk about it from the perspective of race, but there's a little story that I remember reading a long time ago that had nothing to do with race. There was a lady who, when she was cooking, she would always cut the meat in half and then cook it. You've heard it before.
I know this story. It's lovely. Please share it. Please share it.
I'm paraphrasing it a bit. And then I think her daughter along the way was doing the same thing. And then there was a question as to, why do you do it that way? And it was like, I don't know, said the mother. That's what my mother used to do. And then it was going back to the mother and said, oh, well, we had to cut it in half because the pans were small or something like that. But there was a reason why it was done at that time. There was validity to it at that point in time, but that was just copied. And we do the same when it comes to beliefs in relation to people. Though hopefully with younger generations and with people that have a curiosity and a deeper value for people, no matter where they come from, they're more likely to question. Younger people, because they're more likely to have direct association with people from different backgrounds and see them as they are. People who are curious because they ask questions and they dig deeper and they don't just look at things at a superficial level or as presented. And people that see things from a whole more humanistic, human focused approach, because they're more likely to say, well, that's what people say, but this is you, and I want to just look at you and value you as you are and as you as an individual present yourself to me.
This is beautiful, and you're so right, because as you're speaking, I'm thinking, actually, it's about drawing. It's like transferable skills. Just because you're not looking at that particular topic doesn't mean certain beliefs, certain behaviors that we have don't apply, which means that we can draw back to that point of reference and use that to inform inclusivity and our behaviors in the future. That's so important, because I think sometimes when we use a word, whether it's racism, sexism, women, men, leadership, whatever that word is, the automatic assumption is we must only look at it in this tiny context. And you're talking about acceptance of people in general and acceptance of ourselves as well. That's really beautiful. Now, what about when you're in a situation, and this is something that Trey will mention later on, where you have an experience that you have had, and you see other people who maybe share your characteristics, whatever those characteristics are, not experiencing it or experiencing something different. How do you form that understanding and then help each other recognize what each other has experienced, the narrative?
I'm working on a new book at the moment, my fourth book, I proudly say, though there's a frustration that I haven't finished it by now. But the key is, the book is around multiculturalism. And the approach that I've taken is a bit different from what I believe is the norm. As in, I'm interviewing people and talking to people. Most of the people are white. And I say that because it might sound odd for me to say so, but the thing that stands out the most about the people that I'm speaking to is their diversity. So we typically say black people, Asian people, or might break it down a bit to Indians or African, black Africans or what have you. And we say white people. But there's a diversity within that context. And I'm Nigerian, of Nigerian heritage. I'm British by birth. I was born in England, spent my foundation years in England, lived in Nigeria, secondary school, first degree, came back to England. That experience of those different worlds, plus the travels that I've had, the people I interact with, inform me and how I perceive people's behaviors towards me, and to some extent how they also behave towards me. You will speak tomorrow, bump into another lady who is of Nigerian heritage, possibly born in Nigeria, possibly has lived and another lady who has lived in England all her life, Nigerian parents. And even, you could continue to do those breakdowns. You continue to break down. And those experiences will have an impact on the way in which people see the world, and we react to each other. And so because I went to, I mean, I grew up my foundation years in a very white working class family, too young, and the youngest, so I wasn't necessarily aware of racism if it was presented to me in those days. In Nigeria, I was in a very middle class environment, people well off, and I went to an all girls school, which was known as the best school in the country. So I walk into the room when I come back to England, and I don't expect anyone to be looking at me as lesser. And if they do, I probably won't realize what's going on immediately.
You're really getting us all to reflect, because again, as you're talking, I'm thinking as well about how my own experiences are so individual, and that's what is going to shape me. It's going to shape how I present myself. It's going to shape my perception of everything as well. Very recently, the Rose of Northamptonshire Awards happened, which was lovely. And a friend of mine received an award. And she said to me, she's from the black community, Jamaican and Caribbean. And she said to me, "Do you know what? I always assumed these were for white people." But that was her assumption, whereas I've never assumed that. But it was really interesting to talk about this. And so you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Every single one of us, and it's what we say in psychology, our own experiences are going to result in our behaviors, our beliefs, and how we put ourselves across, and perhaps how people respond to us.
I mean, just in case anyone thinks otherwise, I'm not minimizing in any way, shape, or form the issues of race. It is very much there. It's prevalent. It's an issue. It's a big issue. And I think it's actually one of, if not the biggest issues of our time, even though I know there's such a focus on climate at the moment, but they're not totally disconnected.
No, I agree. And I think it's almost what's popular in the news and the narrative that the media is able to put onto it, which is why I'm so grateful to you we're having this conversation right now, because I think as long as the conversation is ongoing, we're still doing something to keep on raising awareness that these issues are still there and they still need to be addressed, because they're going to affect us every single day. And the same things can be applied to anything that we've experienced in our past, any stigma, any bullying, any discrimination. If we have therefore experienced either racism or sexism or any form of feeling the out group, how does that affect us? How do we carry that with us? I mean, I don't necessarily mean big trauma, but the little traumas that affect how we present ourselves.
Yeah, and I would say we've all faced it, especially, I mean, I mean, there's a question as to whether you use the word racism when it's people that are in the majority in an environment. So whether it's racism with white people or whether it's prejudice of some other kind. But if you're a person of colour, specifically if you're a black person in England, you have faced racism. You may not have realized it or recognized it for what it is, but you faced it, and you might have said, oh, maybe it's something else, but you have faced racism, whether it's overt or whether whether it's overt or not, whether it's intended or whether it comes from a lack of awareness or ignorance, you have experienced it. And so we all respond to it differently. But it minimizes people. It makes people smaller. You're not seen. I mean, at a very basic level, it hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, so it hurts.
Simple as that.
And you can say, oh, well, grow up, that's life. And I can remember sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Actually, I don't think that's true. I think the names, the people, the things people say in the way they treat us actually sometimes hurts more than what people do. That it remains with us. I mean, you mentioned trauma, but it remains with us. Yeah. Whereas the physical pain, it goes away. You might remember it, but it goes away. But the words and the things people say and how they treat us and how they make us feel excluded, or that they don't value us, or they make us feel as if, or they believe, because you don't always have to accept it, though it can wear you down over time. And it's just the pain of it and how it makes people feel, the psychological damage it does to people, the fact that it then means that people don't always feel able to be themselves. Sometimes people don't go to places and spaces because of how they're treated. And it's not because they're not confident. It's that, why should I put myself in a space to be treated like this? So at a basic level, those are some of the things at the individual level. Them not showing up, it affects everyone. We don't get the best out of people if they're not putting themselves forward, if they're in a room and they don't speak and share their value, the insights, the wisdom that they have, because they don't want to be shut down or ignored. And so let me just go through the process. Or if they do, it's hard work and it's an uphill battle. And whereas you could have got so much more from the person if you were open to the person, you get less from a person.
Yes, yes. Because, and you, by that same token, not only are you getting less from a person, but even unconsciously, you may be making them feel less as well. And it's a sort of a self-perpetuating cycle. As last time, I could speak for ages with you. You are just, the way you talk about things, you make difficult subjects very accessible. So it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Where can we find you to read your books and get in touch with you?
A Mosaic World. My website, my main website is www.mosaicworld.live, L-I-V-E, because that's what I'm working to create. The approach is very intentional. It's not because I don't feel or see the things that make people angry, but I want to make it accessible so that people have no excuse. They understand, they're better able to engage. So
yes, 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 no excuse, better able to engage. I love that. Thank you, as always. It's been such a pleasure to chat.
Likewise, I very much enjoyed talking to you, as always.